For Kitchen Window, I'm Bonnie Wolf. Susan Russo is a food writer in San Diego. She publishes stories, recipes, and photos on her cooking blog, Food Blogger. She has written a piece for Kitchen Window Online about everyone's favorite summer subject, corn. She joins me today. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Bonnie.
Why does everybody love corn so much?
I think because it's just such a fun food to eat. When you think about it, it's one of the few foods that is expected to be eaten with your hands. You can just slather it with butter and salt, or you can get a little fancy and sprinkle some lime juice on it, or you can sprinkle some cheese on it, and it goes with everything. It's just such a laid-back food. I think it's like Americans, you know? We like to have fun. We like to be laid back. It's a barbecue and a cookout kind of food, and it's just something that everybody loves.
There does seem to be an affinity with lime. Do you have any idea why?
Well, I think it's mostly from Mexico. That's where we get the influence from, because lime and lemon as well actually helps to bring out the corn flavor much more than even just, say, butter does. Hmm. There's something about the acidity that interacts with the sugars in the corn and makes the corn have more of that intense corn flavor and kind of enhance the sweetness.
What do you do with corn and lime?
Sometimes I just make a plain ear of corn. I boil it or steam it or grill it and just literally just sprinkle some lime and a little bit of salt on it and maybe a little bit of cayenne pepper. Also, one of my favorite dishes, which I talk about in the piece, and I actually share the recipe in the online piece, is for Mexican grilled corn, which is absolutely addictive. You just grill the corn and then you slather it with this lime-spiked mayonnaise sauce and then you roll it in crumbly Mexican cotija añejo cheese.
Which is?
It's a crumbly, salty cheese that's mildly aged, and it can be found in regular supermarkets or Mexican markets. It's pretty easy to find, actually. It just has a wonderful flavor. And when you roll the corn in it, all these little knobby pieces of cheese stick to the hot corn.
Oh,
and then you sprinkle it with lime and chili powder or cayenne pepper and some fresh cilantro, and it is just a slice of heaven, I'm telling you.
Sounds like it. not to go back to the very beginning, but corn is also such an American food, and I think we think that too because they didn't have corn in Europe, and the colonists came here and the Native Americans introduced them to corn.
Yeah. When the colonists came to America, the Native Americans had already been growing and using corn for many, many years prior to that. So when they came, the colonists, specifically Christopher Columbus, is believed to be the first colonist and his men to actually see the Indians growing corn. And they were, of course, fascinated. So they would talk to the Native Americans to learn how to grow this. And then, of course, out of necessity, they had to learn to grow it themselves, because when their own food supplies would run out, such as wheat or rice, they would have to rely on corn. So really what happened was there was this cultural exchange between the colonists and the Native Americans, and a lot of foods were born from this time.
What kind of foods?
Cornbread, you know, things like Johnny cakes or hoe cakes, grits and hominy, because what happened was the colonists would see the Indians making these dishes, and the Indians used a lot of stone ground corn because it was something that they could make and then they could use throughout the cold winter months when they weren't able to grow fresh produce. So they would use this ground corn, and they would often make a mash out of it, and then they would bake it over an open fire. And so all these different names of different foods emerged, such as Johnny cakes or ash cakes or hoe cakes, and they were all basically referring to the same thing. And the colonists saw this, and they tried to mimic it, and they also incorporated their own European techniques. And that's how we ended up getting, you know, basic American staples like cornbread and corn muffins and corn pudding.
Corn became a very important part of the diet.
Oh, absolutely, because it was a staple for Native American diets, and then it became a staple when Columbus went back to Europe. He took corn with him, and within one or two generations, it basically spread throughout all of Europe and then quickly ended up spreading throughout the world.
Yeah.
And so it was something that was easy to grow in a lot of different climates. It was pretty inexpensive, and it was something that you could use throughout the winter months when you couldn't grow other things. So it was something that people all over the world found you know, really desirable. And that's why today, in fact, corn is the third leading crop in the world.
Is that right? And corn has changed a great deal with hybridization and crossbreeding. And what have we gained by all of this?
Well, what we've gained is a much sweeter ear of corn, a more robust corn that could sustain harsher weather, and corn that could yield a much larger crop. What we've lost in that process, though, is some of that true corn flavor. It's hard to describe, but we all know it when we taste it. And a lot of people feel that the corn that we eat today, which is pretty much all of the corn we eat today, is from a variety called super sweet corn. And what that is it's, like the name implies, a super sweet tasting corn because it has very high sugar content, almost three times as much as a traditional ear of corn would have had. So you have that sweet flavor, but the drawback is that it's a much less creamy corn. It has crunchier kernels and less of that corn milk that makes corn creamy. And a lot of people feel that it has a lack of true corn flavor.
We have heirloom tomatoes and antique apples. Are they starting to grow old kinds of corns that are sweeter?
Yes, they absolutely are. In fact, a lot of people are saying that's going to be the next trend, that there's going to be, you know, kind of a backlash against this super sweet corn and to try to get back to the old-fashioned corn flavor that we used to have.
How do you pick a good ear of corn?
Well, the first thing you should actually look for is make sure that the corn hasn't been sitting out in the sun all day. Because when corn is exposed to high heat, it breaks down the sugars. So once you find some corn, hold it in your hand and make sure it feels heavy for its size. And the husk should be a nice bright green and it should be taut. It shouldn't be shriveled and it shouldn't have any mold spots on it. And then just gently pull back the top of the husk. And what you want to look for is plump, full kernels. And you want to look for a silk that is light-colored, beige or golden-colored, and that's still dry, that isn't wet or moldy. And then once you take it home, it's best to keep it in the husk so that you retain moisture and put it in a plastic bag and then keep it in the crisper drawer of your refrigerator. And most corn today will last up to a week, but the sooner you eat the corn, the better it'll taste.
How do you freeze corn?
To freeze corn, you just remove it from the husk, you blanch it in boiling water for about 2 minutes, and then run it under cool water to cool it off, and then just cut off the kernels, place them in a single layer on a cookie sheet, and put them in the freezer. That way they don't freeze into clumps. And then once they're frozen, just put them inside of heavy-duty freezer bags, like Ziploc bags, and then you can enjoy them year-round.
Well, Susan, thank you so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.